Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got the peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, when you're up on the mountain. The talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley, trials and temptations, that's where you'll face to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of
Hey,
man, how about that? God of the mountain, God of the valley. We serve a mighty God.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. We serve a mighty God. You remember they were fighting in the valley there, and Israel beat them, and they said, well, they must have a God of the valleys. Let's take them up to the mountains. And they went up to the mountains, and Israel beat them again. They found out he's a God of the mountains and the God of the valley. Amen.
Man.
Hey, man. Well, welcome the listeners this evening to the Sound Doctrine broadcast coming to you live. And we hope that you enjoy the program tonight. We have Sister Joanna Woody and my wife Marilyn and Angelique. Sister Angelique's in there tonight also live, and they're going to bring you Ladies' Night. And we get thrilled once a month to hear this sermon, to hear this lesson, and we get excited because God really blesses us. We have a lot of women who call in and they say, you know, we were blessed. And we're grateful for that. We hope that God will bless you this evening and that God will touch your hearts and that something you hear will change your life today and help you to better serve the Lord and have a better Christian walk. And I'll pray us in and we'll get this going. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Almighty God, for your mercy and your kindness and your blessings all week, and ask you to bless our listening audience and that you touch their hearts, Father, that you'd open their spiritual eyes and spiritual ears and give them wisdom and revelation of a knowledge of you, God, and that you'd bless Sister Joanna as she brings forth this lesson, Marilyn and Angelique, and that we all, Lord, can listen, learn, and grow. And I thank you, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Sister Joanna?
Yes,
how
sir.
How are you this evening?
I'm great, thank you. And thank you for your prayers for my last little episode, but thank God that that's gone and I'm better.
Well, amen. We're glad that you're feeling well. I think we've all had a roundabout. The devil's trying to get rid of us all, so.
Amen. We're too tough. Can't do that.
We had a young man preach at our church, 6 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to send you the DVD of it.
Oh, was, praise the Lord. Well, my son preached his first sermon when he was 13, so that'll go with his.
Amen, amen. Well, you'll love it. It's he took the pulpit like he owned it. God,
amen.
The Holy Spirit
was
on this young man.
His
sermon was, God is certain. Jesus Christ is certain. And he started off with the verse where he said the people were uncertain. And he said, but Jesus is never uncertain.
Oh, my goodness.
And he took them through the Bible, all the way back to the prophecies. And, I mean, what a blessing.
Amen.
But I'm going to turn this over to you, ladies. I love you all. God bless you. And have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. Hey, Marilyn.
Hello, sister. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, hon. You?
Well, you've been in my prayers. I'm doing okay.
Thank you. Thank you. I am much better, much, much. It didn't last long, but it left me kind of weak. I was down, really down one day, and then a couple of days of just that, you know, you just don't feel 100%. But I'm over it. I think it was just a bug. Some bug going around didn't, you know, wasn't long, and I thank God it's over.
Amen to that, sister. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'll get us for our next, for June, I'm going to go ahead and give you the scripture and so you guys can read and hopefully bring some ideas in with you when we meet again. June 18th, right, Miss Marilyn?
Yes.
Will be our third, okay. And we're going to look at these. I've been doing this study on just it's been real brief for our church. Just for a month. Well, our pastor left. He got a call to another church and left us. So we ladies got together and decided we'd just get a little study going so we'd kind of keep close and, you know, help each other, lift each other up until we get another pastor. And we just felt like we needed it. So I did a short study on fathers and daughters, mothers and sons. So I'm going to do that with us. It's turned out to be real interesting. The ladies really liked it. And the one I was going to do last month began our series also. It's Caleb and Achsa tonight, A-C-H-S-A-H. We're in Joshua 14 and 15. We'll be looking at verses from there. But for next time, we're going to look at Jephthah. He's in the book of Judges. the whole chapter of 11 and into verse chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. And he's the man who made the foolish vow when he won a victory. And we're going to look at that and the relationship between him and his daughter. She was quite a remarkable little girl, and we're going to look at that relationship. The one tonight is really, I pray it will be as encouraging to you as it was to me. This is a wonderful, strong relationship. And I pray that as we look at this, we'll recognize our relationship with our Heavenly Father. As this young girl was, Caleb's daughter was a strong young woman. And when we look at it, I pray you'll see the comparison between our relationship, her relationship with him, and our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So if you girls are ready, I'm ready to start.
We're ready.
You're ready? Okay. We'll read the scripture and then go back and discuss it some and see what you think as I read Joshua 15, 16 through 19. This same account is found in Judges 1, 11 through 15. And a precious Bible teacher in North Carolina told me one time that when God says something twice in the Bible, it's very significant. If he repeats a circumstance or a name or a word, you need to look at it, because when God places emphasis on it, it's important in our lives. And so this account is found twice. So that's one thing that got me looking at it. And then as I read the study on it, it's really, really interesting. And I pray that this will be a blessing to you. From Joshua 15, starting with verse 16, we're going to look at the account between Caleb and his daughter, and then go back and look just a minute at Caleb, because you're going to see how important his influence is on this young girl's life. So let's read the account. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath-Seber and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife." Now, for us Westerners, we kind of don't like that, but that was a custom in that day, and this was a very wise move on the dad's part. Kind of, some people said it seemed to them a little reckless, but I think he knew, in the back of his mind, knew the outcome. But we'll read it and see how it plays out. Verse 17, "And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he took the city, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. So she, after they married, she persuaded, or, if you will, made Othniel go ask her father for a piece of land." And this is so brief that you kind of wonder how we can get all of this out of it. But I pray as we take it apart, you'll see the value of it. So she asked him to go get this piece of land, and he does. Evidently, something happened in there. We don't have it recorded. But the next scene we see, it's her, Aksa, and she lighted off her ass or her donkey. And Caleb said to her, "What wouldest thou?" Who answered, "Give me a blessing." And she replied back to her father, "Give me a blessing. For thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water." And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. So in this, what we're seeing here, Caleb issued for someone who would take a city, that he would give his daughter Aksa as wife. I am thinking, because these people are kin to each other, they know each other, and Othniel has seen Aksa and maybe has a little interest in her. Anyway, in verse 16, we see that he took the city. It's an interesting account here. And as I begin this, I don't know how many of you have sons, how many of you listening, or Marilyn, I think you have a son, don't you?
Yes, I have two sons. I have two sons.
I thought you told me you did. Yeah, I've been. It has kind of been an intrigue to me as I've watched my son interact with my granddaughter, with his daughter. They have a very tight relationship, and it's really interesting to watch them. She's a lot like him, and sometimes there's a little payback in there because she's given him a little fit, kind of like he gave me a little fit. So it's kind of interesting to watch them grow together. This scripture that we're looking at tonight has got a lot of good, rich study in it, and we can go a lot of ways, but this was kind of what the Lord laid on my heart for us tonight, and we won't get into all of it, but what we need to learn from this account. We're going to look at Caleb. His Hebrew is from Hebrew origin, and his name means faith, devotion, or wholehearted. We're going to learn when we read about him, his father, Caleb's father's name was Jephunneh, and his name meant uncertain, which was certainly not true, excuse me, of Caleb's life. And Aksa, excuse me, her name means ankle bracelet or bangle or jewel. And Othniel, the boy that the man that wins her hand, his name means lion or strength of God. So they have some wonderful, strong names. So we're going to look at what happened here. As I read this about the account, excuse me, what did you kind of think of Aksa as I read about her? She's not, you know, just mentioned briefly twice here when she's taken as wife by Othniel, and then when she persuades him to ask her father for some land, and then there's a pause in there, and I think a very intense conversation ensued, and she approaches her dad and says, "I want some. You gave me some land. Now I need some water." And this is very significant. Another thing that is very significant here is when she came to her father, she was riding on her donkey. When she got to him, she got off of her donkey, which was a sign for women of submission. As they dismounted the animal they were riding, we saw this with Rebekah and Isaac in Genesis when Rebekah saw. Rebekah, when she saw Isaac, she got off of her camel. She when she saw him, she stood down. And that's a sign or a gesture of submission, which I thought was very interesting. I also think she was a very bold woman. I think she stood her ground. I think she was not mealy-mouthed. And she persuaded her husband to ask for this land. Then when she got it, it didn't have water, and she approached her dad and said, "Listen, you've given me this. I can't work with it. We can't grow anything. We need water." And he blessed her again. He gave her upper springs of water and lower. And we're going to learn as we go through the lesson what that means. It's very significant. But to learn Aksa, we need to learn Caleb. And do you remember he was the spy? You remember when they sent out the spies, the 12 spies, that Caleb and Joshua came back with the good report? You remember that? And at this time in Caleb's life, he's 85 years old now. Joshua is dividing up the land and giving the land that they've won, the promised land, he's giving them their portion of land. And it's interesting in this, as you read through Joshua, he takes his portion of land last. He was a wonderful, wonderful leader and trusted God and waited until everyone else had their portion before he took his. It's very interesting. But Caleb had waited for 45 years for this land. And if you will turn with me to Joshua 14, 6 through 13, we're going to learn some things about Caleb. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. You remember his name means faithful or devotion, wholehearted. And here he says himself, I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Again he repeats that. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He's 85 years old now. Look at verse 11, what he says about himself. I love this. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. He said, I am ready to go. I can fight. I know where to go, and I know how to get back home. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now, what is interesting about this, Kirjath just means city, and Arba was the founder of that city, and he is the father of the giants, that great race of giants that Goliath descended from, the Goliath that David had the battle with there and won. And this Anakims are also spoken of in Genesis 6 in the city of Noah. As we look at this man, what does he remind you of? He said, I'm 85 years old. I'm as strong today as I was the day that Moses gave me the promise. So this is who Aksa came from. Can you imagine living in a house with a man that strong that has for 45 years waited for his turn to get his land that was promised to him? He sounds like, I don't know if y'all saw it, the guy was in California. I saw it on TV the other night. He was a former Marine. He was old, and he had a little old scrawny dog, looked like a little chihuahua. And a bear got a hold of the little dog, and the man saw it, this Marine saw it, and he ran over there and hit the bear and took his dog back. And that pitiful little dog was just looking at him like he was just the savior of the world. And when I heard that, I thought, this is a Caleb. That old boy wasn't scared a bit of that bear, got his little dog, and he wasn't scared of him. So I thought of Caleb's character when I saw that. This is the father of this girl. And the thing that was interesting, remember when we read the account in 15 about him wanting a man to take a city for his daughter, this was interesting. He wanted somebody, if a man can win a city, then he can surely take care of his daughter. So Caleb's looking out for his little girl. He wants somebody like him. And look at verse 14. You see that Caleb wasn't looking out just for his family, just for his girl and himself, but he was thinking future. He was thinking down the line. He wanted to leave something for his children, his grandchildren, his great grandchildren, his heritage. He wanted to do something great and leave it for them. This is a wonderful man that thinks of his children and his family like that. And he chose a mountain that was hard to get. I don't think it was in his DNA to do anything easy. I think his life, he was a disciplined, strong man, and he wasn't looking for the easy way out. This girl had seen that all of her life, Aksa, from the time she was born. She saw this strong man that had his heart wholly set on God. Can you imagine a daddy like that would want to serve the Lord with all of his heart? What a precious gift that is to his family. As he was speaking, you heard nothing negative. You didn't hear fear. You didn't hear him say, "I'm afraid." I didn't read "can't" in there anywhere. I didn't hear him say he was too old. I didn't hear him say the giants were too big.
Right.
But I did hear, ma'am?
Yeah, or he couldn't do it.
No, yeah, he never say that. Yeah. That's not in there anywhere.
Right, he went in with a bang and just full on took care of it.
Yeah, he did. And he said, "I'm as strong as today as I was when Moses was alive."
Amen.
So
yep.
his first quality was he spoke positively. He wasn't looking for excuses. He wanted the mountain. And he said, "Give me this mountain, and not only give me this mountain, but give me the one filled with the giants. I'll drive them out just like the Lord told me I would."
Right.
So one thing I learned from him, speak positively. Know what God wants you to do, and know how he wants you to get it done, and do it. That's what he said. And then the second thing I saw was he followed the Lord. Twice it said he wholly followed the Lord with all of his heart. Boy, I love people like that, that they're glued on the Lord. They love the Lord, and they follow wholeheartedly. The third thing I saw was he was joyful in his life. He rejoiced in his life. There was no belly aching with him. I mean, he was good to go. And another thing I saw, and this is one that takes a lot of discipline, so sometimes I have to close my ears as I say these things because I'm teaching myself as I teach you guys, but keep fit. He said, "I'm as strong today at 85 as I was at 40. And I pray I can say that. I keep fit. I walk. I eat right. I try to sleep right. I try to have my devotions depend on God for my strength." And that's
can
what he did. He depended on God. Ma'am?
Yes, can I ask you a question on that?
Sure.
So do you think that he had a sense of that strongness, and so it was more his faith that kept him to believe that he could conquer anything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
okay.
Strong man.
Twice
it said he wholly followed the Lord.
Right.
He didn't have to do anything. His faith was very strong because God told him they could take it. Remember when he sent the spies out? God told them they could. That land was theirs, and him and Joshua understood that. The other eight were the ones who were scared. Remember, and said, "Those people are so big, we felt like grasshoppers." Well, Caleb sure didn't feel like a grasshopper.
Yeah, no.
He felt like he could take them on.
Mm-hmm.
He depended on God, and he planned for his future. Caleb knew he was going to die, but he hadn't got his place that God gave him yet. So he made sure when he took this place that it was a place that his descendants could have. And it was a place physically, but most of all spiritually. This was what God told him he could have, and he wanted to get it because God said he could have it. That's sound teaching, because what God tells us we can have, we can have. And Caleb, Caleb did that. And then look at, just for a minute, at Othniel, when Caleb offered, you know, the one who got the defeated that city, that he would give his daughter. Sounds like to us, because we don't do things like that in this culture, but it sounds that he was looking for a man that was as strong as he was. He wanted somebody to take care of his daughter. It's an interesting thing about that city, too, that Othniel, Ox's husband, it's an interesting thing about the city he took, because before he conquered it, it was a city named Kirjath-Sefer. Kirjath means city, and Sefer means book. But when Othniel got through with it, they renamed it Debir, D-E-B-I-R, and that word means word. So he took a city that was called the book, full of words, and just made it singular word. He took it apart, is what he did, and that play on words there, but that's what the Bible tells us. And we go back to this conversation, if we can, in verse 18, between Aksa and Othniel. I'm not sure what that conversation was about. When we get to heaven and we find Aksa and Othniel, and I pray we will, ladies, I pray we'll walk those streets of gold and find these wonderful characters and get to hear them tell us firsthand all of these things we've studied. Won't that be wonderful to
Amen.
Oh, to walk and hear these people? This girl, when her husband didn't come back with the answer she was looking for, she went after her daddy. This is what I learned from that. Strong men produce good, strong children. And she, he had given, you know that old saying, the apple don't fall far from the tree?
How true.
It's a real good thing if it's a good tree and a good apple. But I pray that we'll learn that as parents today and grandparents, to influence our kids' lives for the Lord as we devote ourselves to the Lord, that it's true our kids won't fall far from that tree. But Aksa knew that this land that her father had given her, that she needed water. And when Othniel didn't get what they needed, she took it upon herself, and she went and asked her father for a blessing of water to help her make what he had given her, to help her to be able to make something out of what he had given her. So this is where kind of the meat, if you will, of this encounter, and I pray that you recognize quickly the relationship between Aksa and Caleb is like ours with our relationship with our Father, our Heavenly Father. We have our Heavenly Father has done everything we need, ladies, and you and I know that. He has given us everything we need.
Yes,
and this is a neat encounter. This is a neat situation that we're going to see in just a minute. First thing I wanted to point out some things about Aksa. In her relationship, she was submissive to the authority of her father and subsequently to her husband. She spoke up. She was not a backward woman or a shy woman, but she was submissive. Now, being submissive doesn't mean you're beat down. It means you understand the place of authority. It's not a word we should fear at all. In fact, we should thank the Lord for it. It's a wonderful word. And because when God has, when we give him the authority in our life, guess what he does for us, just like Caleb did for Aksa. He prepared for her. He took that mountain and to give it to his inheritance. That was not a selfish move. That was for her and the family. When Aksa accepted the conditions of the husband coming with this battle, she didn't buck at that. She didn't balk at it. She didn't come easy. Her father made sure there were some standards to get her hand. And her father was a good example to follow. She saw his bravery and his success and his love for her, that he wanted a man who would protect her like he did. So yep. it was easy to, or not easy, but it was the right thing to do, to submit to that authority. A neat thing I learned about the children of Othniel and Aksa in 1 Chronicles 4, 13 and 14, this is recorded. The sons of Kenaz were Othniel and Sariah. The sons of Othniel were Hathith and Manoathat, who belonged to Ophrah. Sariah begot Joab, the father of Gee-Harshiman, for they were craftsmen. So these children of Othniel and Aksa were craftsmen. That was a great honor in that day, to be trained in a craft. So their children were smart. It just passes down from generation to generation. When we give our hearts and our children, our families to the Lord and pray, I tell you, there's no greater joy that I have than to sit in church with my son and my granddaughter. Mm-hmm. And as we hear God's word and sing the hymns, it is heaven to me. my son is saved. My granddaughter's saved, and we talk about the Lord and share what he's doing. In fact, my granddaughter just went to work today. She called me and said, Granny, pray. I'm going to interview for a job. Called me back 4 hours later and said, Granny, I've been working 4 hours. I got the job.
Amen.
So, amen. So God is good, and he helps us and our offspring, and that is wonderful. The second thing that I noticed about Aksa and her father, that she was confident in who she was when she made this additional request of her father. Her father hadn't made it easy on her when he gave her this land with water. She knew what she needed, and she knew who could help her. She stated her request in alignment with what her father had already done for her. She said, you've been good. You gave me land. But if you want me to do something with it, I need water. And that kind of confidence was not accepted in the culture of that day. In fact, some Greek translators who were encountered this writing didn't want to make Aksa a strong woman. They didn't like that because that was their culture, had women that they didn't speak up and those kind of things. Didn't mean she was not submissive. It meant that she was confident in what she asked of her father. Does that sound familiar for us as daughters of our Father in heaven? That when we have a need, we need to be confident. He said in Hebrews 4:16, to come boldly to his throne when we have a need. And that's a marvelous invitation from the very God of heaven to ask, to tell you to come in boldly to his throne. Because she had this strong relationship with her father, she knew what she could ask of him. She was willing to work with what he gave her. She was grateful for what he gave her. But she knew that if it was going to produce anything, she needed more. And she knew that he could provide what she needed. And this is so wonderful, ladies. Not only did he give her what he asked, what she asked for, but he gave her more. Is that not true of our Heavenly Father?
Mm-hmm.
That he gives us what we ask for, and how many times does he give us more? I am so grateful that sometimes I don't know what to ask for, and he gives me exactly what I need and a little more.
Yep.
He is
Amen
so abundant.
That.
Amen.
Yeah, that's enough. Yep, that's enough. Just enough
and
for
this,
what we need.
Yes.
Awesome.
And in this upper and lower springs, let me give you what that means real quickly. In the desert, water springs they're very important and strategic. Whoever controls the water controls that area. And without water, nothing grows. So without water, there's no way to grow crops or anything. There's no way to even set up your home because you need water to run a house. A spring is a place there in the desert. It's a place where the water comes to the surface of the desert. And normally, this water is absorbed into a porous soil, and then it sinks until it encounters a non-porous rock, like a volcano rock. And there it will remain until it finds an outlet where it can flow to the surface. Depending on the source of these springs, it may dry out in summer or in the very hot seasons. Those are called the upper springs. They come quickly and they disappear, but they irrigate and water your first planting. But to have a crop, you need water from. You need additional water, and that water will collect. The lower springs that is spoken of here is water that collects in underground chambers. It's under pressure, and it's what we call artesian wells. They never dry up, and these are the lower springs, or these nether springs it spoke of. London and Paris, two cities that we're familiar with, are situated over such springs, such reservoirs. And South and Western Australia also have a large reservoir like this. So they have these springs where the water never runs dry. And Oxa, Caleb, in his kindness to his daughter, gave her both these quick springs for water and then this spring of water that never runs out. And what did Jesus say we have in us? Wells of water springing up that never run dry.
Amen.
So God, in his mercy and grace, as he gives us these gifts and our personalities, gifts of the Spirit that we work with, not only does he give us the gifts, but he also provides us the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit and this overflowing spring that gives us our energy, our ability to develop the gifts that he gives us, just like Caleb gave to Oxa what she needed to develop her land. And God is good, and when he gives us what we need, James 1:5 says that if we have issues, things that we don't know how to, we can't decide, we can't make a decision. If we lack wisdom, he said to come to him. He never fusses, he never upbraideth us, but he gives us wisdom to know how to deal with our problems. Mm-hmm. And what a wonderful God that is, that says, mm-hmm, come and ask for more. That's exactly what Caleb knew that his daughter would do for him. And she knew exactly what her father would give her because she knew what to ask for. Well, James 4 tells us that sometimes our prayers aren't answered because we ask for things selfishly. Well, God's not going to give us what's going to hurt us. He's going to give us things that will help us. So we need to learn to pray and have that strong relationship with him. We'll know what to ask for. This is what I pray that you and I learn from this, is we understand God's authority in our lives, that we'll submit to his control, and that we will live gratefully every day. I don't know about you ladies, but I don't like being around ungrateful people.
Yeah, neither do we.
Have you ever been around kids that aren't grateful for anything?
Oh, yes.
Their parents have given, and they're not. That I think that's the ugliest attitude ever, is ingratitude. So I pray that we, like Oxa, will live a life of gratitude, being grateful to our Heavenly Father, because we have a Bible that is full of promises of His love and a provision for us. In Psalm 32:8, He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I'll guide you with mine eye. In Psalm 34:4, He says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Are you fearful? The Bible says, seek the Lord. He'll hear you and deliver you from all your fears. And I can attest that He will do that.
And
Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions, that's weaknesses, difficulties, problems, pains, or troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Yeah.
And then in Psalm 139, and this is to me one of the most precious verses in the Bible, it says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. I've picked up a handful of sand many times at the beach and just let it run through my fingers and remind myself that God thinks of me more than that handful of sand that I'm letting sift through my fingers. He thinks of me more than the number of the sand on the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not amazing that the God of heaven thinks of us, His daughters, like that? And it just amazes me. Our confidence in our Heavenly Father gives us the ability to approach His throne in the time of need. And that was the verse that I quoted to you from Hebrews 4. Let us therefore come boldly. And that word boldly, I looked that up. This is going to blow you away. It means daring, confidently, brashly. That's what that word means. Come boldly, daring, confidently to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hebrews 4:16. So God, the very God of heaven, asks us to come, if you will, screaming into His presence if we have a need. I told somebody one time that all my life, just about, I've been told to sit down and shut up.
Amen.
But the very God of heaven tells me to come in boldly. He says, you come to me boldly. That's the God of heaven that asked me to do that.
Amen.
And that just blows me away, that He invites me to come into His presence confidently. That's amazing, girls. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing that I hope that we got from this tonight is, when we know His word, we will know what we can ask with assurance of His approval. Remember that great invitation in Matthew 7:17, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receiveth, and to him who seeketh, finds, and to him who knocketh, it will be opened. Then he goes on to say, of what man is there among you who, if his son ask for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? If when we know what we can ask, we can ask boldly. If we know His word, we'll know what we can ask. And He's given us access to His word. I just got a request from a man from Africa, and he said that they're having a hard time right now because of the wars and the Muslim influence and other religions and heathen religions that are don't want those people to have Bibles. And they say right now they're begging for Bibles for Africa. Mm. And you and I have every day, and many of us have more than one. You know, we have more than one Bible, and these some of these people have never, don't have the copy of God's Word. Can you imagine living without a copy of God's Word? Can you just imagine that? And let me tell you some things that God loves for you to ask for. God loves for us to ask for more of His Spirit. It's, He says every day to invite the Holy Spirit to fill your life. It's not a one and done event. We need every day to open our lives to the Holy Spirit of God and ask Him to move, to work in us, to use us, to be His hands, His feet, His eyes, His ears, and to do the things that please Him. And then He gives us the power to do that. That amazes me. You can ask for more of His righteousness. Remember the Beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's kind of a, what do you call it, a paradox, because if the more we hunger, the more we get. The more you get, the more you hunger.
Yeah.
But we want more of the righteousness of God. We want to be more like Him. That, and God loves it when we ask for that, to be more. It would be just like your sons, Marilyn, coming in and say, "Mom, you're the lady, and I want to be more like you. I want to be strong like you." Can you imagine what that would do to you if your kids came in and talked to you? It would just thrills me silly when they ask me just to pray for them. But
yeah.
Can you imagine how it pleases the heart of God when we say, "I want to be more righteous. Give me more of your righteousness." Another thing we can ask for more of is the living water, to let it flow through us, let it rise up in us, let it empower us and nourish our spiritual lives. We can ask for more wisdom to do His work, more wisdom to know how to help other people do His work. And I'll tell you another thing He loves for us to ask for. It's more souls for His kingdom.
Yeah,
He loves for us to pray for the souls of other people and to witness and to reach out to the lost. Our Father loves that, and He wants to give us more of that. Pray that will become part of your prayers. He also loves for us to ask for more strength to help other people, to give more of ourselves as we can, as we have time and opportunity, more strength to do things to strengthen other people. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, loves for you to pray these unselfish prayers. And I'm sure you got the picture from all of that, the things that we can ask for in confidence, because this is what He does want to give to us. I pray, girls, as we've looked at this lady named Oxa. It's a funny name. You don't hear it. It's not a common name here in America. But I pray that as you've heard her name, Jewel, the bangle, she's a decorative ornament on her father. I pray that we'll be Oxas, if you will, for the Lord, that we'll be jewels for our Heavenly Father. And I pray that we'll live in a confident, intimate relationship with our Father, so that we, like Oxa, as we've studied this wonderful lady, that we'll glorify our Father with lives of gratitude in abundance, that we'll have an abundance of thanksgiving to give to our Father every day for all the good things, for all the things that He's done for us. And I'm sure that you can testify, as I can tonight, of His goodness, of His blessing, of His generosity to me, and His help to me through the years. I've suffered chastisement when I've when I've needed it, and I'm grateful for it, because he says if he doesn't love you, he doesn't chastise you. So I'm grateful even for his chastisement. He's been a wonderful Heavenly Father. And I would like to issue an invitation to some of you that may listen or may be hearing this, that you don't know God on a personal level. There's only one way you can get to him, and that's through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said himself, I am the way, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. There's only one way to get to him, that is through me and through our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can have a personal relationship with the very creator of the heavens and the earth. What a astounding thought that is. So tonight, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you've recognized that there's no payment, there's been no assurance that your sins are forgiven, that your life is right with God, let me tell you of a wonderful exchange you can make tonight, a wonderful exchange that Jesus has made possible with you. In 2 Corinthians, I love this verse. Let me get to it. 2 Corinthians 5. The great exchange is the greatest exchange that will ever be offered you, ladies. The greatest gift that you can ever be given. This 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And what that means is that Jesus takes our sin on himself and gives to us his righteousness, so that when God looks at us, he doesn't see our failures and our faults and our weaknesses. He sees his Son and accepts us in his Son. No greater exchange in life will you ever be offered than that. Your sin for his righteousness. I pray tonight that you'll consider what great things he's done for you and pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I cannot save myself. I recognize that you paid the price for my sin, and by faith, I want to make this great exchange, your righteousness for my sin. I ask you to come into my heart tonight and save my soul. And I thank you in your dear name for the price you paid for me, and pray that I would live my life to your glory and the honor of our Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, sister, amen. Well, once again, you've done a wonderful job, as you always do. We do have some women out there that are maybe listening or may not, but they really need some prayers. First of all, Sister Joanna, you will continue to pray for you.
Thank you.
Angelica needs some health prayers. She's been dealing with a bad knee and a few other things. Sister Joan, Sister Kitty, and Kitty's two sisters, they're both, believe it or not, two sisters are dealing with cancer. It's Rhonda and Dottie. So Kitty's having a little bit of difficulty dealing with, you know, knowing that her two sisters, but both the sisters are saved, and that's a comfort.
Amen.
We have Barbara Rice, who is going to be having heart surgery here on the 1st of June, so we need to keep her in our prayers. Dr. Ventura's daughter is still going through a lot of issues down there in Florida with her health. And there's a young lady named Crystal who's in prison right now, and she needs to continue to grow in the Lord and to do the right things so she can be with her children. And there's many more out there that need prayers. Sister Elsa, and anyone else who's needs extra prayers. We're praying for you for health, finances, and all the things,
spiritual
growth, but most of all, for all those
who
feel that you're going to give up. God is always there for you.
Amen.
Amen. So, I guess we'll turn this back over to Brother Nathan, and we'll catch you all next month on June 18th.
Thank you.
And next Thursday, tune in to Dr. Venter and the Sound Doctrine.
Amen. Amen. That
thank
sounds wonderful. Well, thank you so much, and I love you girls.
I love you too. And you get better, please.
Thank you. Love you, Nathan. Bye.